Notice Brother Taylor was praying, send us the rain. It looks like we're getting the rain. Thank the Lord tonight for the rain. We can use all the water right here at the beginning of the year. The event that it gets a little bit hot, then we'll have a little water in the water tables and it'll make a lot of difference. We thank the Lord tonight for those that come out on a rainy night to hear the Word of God and to fellowship us. Appreciate every one of you being here. The Lord has blessed us. We've been here several nights. And each night, the Lord has blessed us. And even though the crowd is off considerably tonight, yet we thank the Lord for those that are here. Still a good crowd of people here to preach the gospel to. And we're very grateful to be able to share our enthusiasm with you concerning the wonderful things of Jesus. Hoarse from preaching last night. Preached a little bit hard last night. Then the weather conditions. You know, when you fast a little, pray a little. When you preach a little, stay up a little bit at night, trying to get in touch with heaven, it affects you. But nevertheless, we're still grateful to be able to report the victory because we've got victory in our soul tonight. And we've got God on our side tonight. And that's the thing that is so important. So we thank the Lord tonight for every one of you and the wonderful enthusiasm that the people have shown in the last night or two of the meeting. We're scheduled to be here 10 nights. And the first night we did not get started. Then the second night we had a real good crowd of folks and we were able to have meeting. We may be here longer than 10 nights. We have this lot rented for a month in the event that we want to stay. But 10 nights is what we're scheduled for. And we're here to share the gospel with you as much as lieth within me. I want to do everything I can for the glory of God and to tell you about Jesus. So we welcome you here to the tent, to this meeting. I trust that you are as concerned tonight about the meeting as I am. I know that there is people that's just as concerned about soul winning as I am, and perhaps some that's more. I hope there isn't anybody in the world that's any more concerned than I am. I want to believe that anyway. But I know that there are people that are in the world today that are concerned about winning souls to God. And I certainly hope that some of them that would be found in the Macon area would be here with us tonight. So, as we come together tonight to worship God in song and in praise, I want to say welcome. We're thankful to have you here. We see numbers of people from night to night that we know, and we appreciate so very much. They're coming to be with us, and we thank the Lord for you. We had a chance to fellowship Brother Lamar Couch today. I hadn't seen Lamar in a long time. We were coming in from California a few days ago. And we come through Tucson, Arizona, and I stopped by to see him, but I couldn't find him in that area. So I couldn't figure out where he was at. But he showed up today, and we had a little fellowship, and he was telling me that he was going to be in service with us tonight. Also, our Baptist brother, I can't remember his name. I've only met him the one time, so far as his name's concerned, of hearing his name, but he's not too far up the road from us. He pastors a Baptist church there, and I see he's in service with us tonight. He said he would be out tonight, and we're certainly glad to have him here. Thank the Lord for every one of you, for Brother and Sister Watts that's here with us tonight. Also for Jimmy. You know, some of you perhaps know Brother Jimmy Watts, and you probably see the miracle that God has wrought in his life in the last few weeks. Jimmy's been in a dying condition, and God has undertaken for him. And he's been out traveling across the country and preaching and praising God. You know, God's good, isn't he? They had him on the death list. He was supposed to die in a few weeks. But the Lord robbed the grave, and he's still living tonight. And you know what? If Jimmy keeps believing God and keeps praying, then he'll keep on living. Isn't that right? You say, now, where do you get that in the Bible? The Bible said the just shall live. The just shall live if they'll continue to believe. The just shall live by faith. Isn't that right? That just doesn't mean he have eternal life, but that means you can keep on living. Did you know that Adam and Eve never lost out in life until they quit believing what God had to say about it? And the very day that they quit believing what God had to say about it, the Lord said, the day that you do this, you'll die. And sure enough, they died. A lot of people are in the grave tonight because they have not believed God. They could have lived longer, but they just didn't believe God. So then we need to believe God. Isn't that right? If you're sick tonight, you need to believe God. You need to call on the name of the Lord and believe God. All right, let's stand together for just a few moments as we read God's Word. Can we do that? I want to say again, we appreciate every one of you being here. I see our brother Joe Bell's back with us tonight. He didn't come last night, or I didn't see him last night. But we certainly appreciate him being out with us, and also our other brother. I'm not acquainted with him, but we certainly are glad to have him here with us. The others that are here, we want you to know that we appreciate you so very much. Brother Cobbs is here with us. He's been here with us night after night. Appreciate Brother Clyde being with us. Number of them that has come out to be with us, Sister Elliot, and I don't see Brother Charlie tonight. Numbers of people in this area that we know have known in the past. We appreciate them being here with us. Thank God for every one of you. And we trust that you will work with us and that we'll be able to do something for Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Matthew's, if you will, over to the 6th chapter. And let's read a little bit of the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter of the book of Matthew's, or the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye will eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're told here in the 24th verse, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can be seated. You know, the Bible tells us that you can't serve two masters, that you either have to choose one or another. You've got to choose one master or another master. You can't serve both of them. And you know, a lot of people is not aware of the fact that when the Bible says that you can't serve God and mammon, that the word mammon means money. A lot of people are not aware of the fact that the word mammon has to do with money, and they are not aware of the fact that money is a god. Money is one of the greatest powers that there is in the world today. And the Bible teaches that the love for money is the root to all of the evil that takes place during a man or woman's lifetime. It is because people love wealth that they kill. It is because people love wealth that they steal and that they do all of the evil things that they do through their lifetime. So then you can come under the powers of the love for materialism and become a slave to tribute. And in so doing, you will find that you are serving the god of money, or the god that the Bible refers to as mammon. But the Bible tells us that you cannot serve mammon and still serve God. You cannot give your spirit and your heart to the things of this life or to the power of money and still be a child of God. A lot of people in the world today, they're mixed up to the extent that they feel that they can follow after mammon and they can lay up treasures in this world and have great wealth and great power and great treasures in this life, and let the sick and the suffering go, let little children go hungry. They are of the opinion that God doesn't see it when they let things go lacking, when they neglect to win souls, when they neglect to put their efforts toward God and their talents to the exchanges. They feel that God doesn't pay any attention to it. But I want you to know tonight that God is looking down from heaven, and that God is watching everything that Brother Pike does, that God hears every word that Brother Pike says, and that God is watching every reflect of my mind and every intent of my heart and every motive that I have tonight. God is properly evaluating as He weighs it out in His presence to see what we are doing here in Macon, Georgia. And folks, God tonight around the world is doing the same thing to every other individual. God is looking at you. God is weighing you. God is weighing the spirit. He wants to know what's in your mind and what's in your heart. God wants to know what you're doing with your substance. God wants to know what you're doing with your talent. God wants to know what your plans and programs is. And you know, God just doesn't want to know what we're planning to do, but God wants to know if we're going to do what we're planning to do. You know, it's one thing to make plans. It's another thing, beloved friend, to do something about it. You know, the Bible tells us that as we have a will, that we should have a performance. Isn't that right? If I have a will to do something, that's good. But we must have a performance. For the Bible said that the talk of the lip only tends to penury, but there is reward in all labor. And the Bible teaches that the laborer is worthy of his hire. That in that day, God will say to the laborer, enter into the blessings and the great things of God that was prepared for thee before the world ever was. The Bible tells us that men shall rest from their labors, and that God is going to reward us according to our labor. But if we don't have a performance, and if all we have is a will, we are not going to get anything from God at all. God is going to reward you according to what you're doing. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, as far as I'm concerned, God's going to reward me according to what I believe. And I tell you again, the Bible said if you believe, you do good. That's good to believe. If you believe there's one God, you're doing well. But the Bible said that the devil believes that, and the devil trembles every time he thinks about that. But do you know, a vain man, that faith without works is dead? The Bible tells us that Abraham was saved because he'd done the things that God told him to do. The Bible tells us that Noah was saved because he built the ark to the saving of his household, because by faith he acted upon the word of God. It was the labor of Noah that put the ark together. It was the faith that inspired the works that caused him to build the ark. But it was the ark that saved Noah. Therefore, when we trace it back, we say Noah was saved by faith, because it was the faith that inspired the labor. It was because he believed in God that he'd done what God told him to do. Isn't that right? And so then tonight, it is your faith is proven tonight by what you do toward God's word. When you hear God's word, when you know God's promise, if that faith that you claim that you have or you profess, if that faith goes into action and causes you to deny the things of this flesh and to deny the things of this world, if that believing of yours causes you to go forth and do something for Christ, then, my brother, you've got faith in the word of God. But if that believing that you confess doesn't cause you to live right, if it doesn't cause you to put away the lust of the flesh, if it doesn't cause you to forsake everything in this world and come out from the world and be a separate people, then you don't have faith in God's word. The church world today is depending upon what they call faith. You know, if you've got real faith, you can be saved. If you've got real genuine faith, it will save you. But just confessing doesn't mean that you've got faith. Just because you say, I believe, it doesn't mean that you believe anything. A child is known by his doings. Therefore, it's according to what you do that proves what you are. It's according to what you do that proves what you believe. You know what? You're out here tonight because you believe that you should come to this church or to these church services. Isn't that right? You believed enough that you got in your car, you drove out here tonight, and you're fellowshipping the saints of God in the tent meeting tonight. Because you believed. Because you believed. Now you could have stayed home, and you could have said, well, I believe that I'm supposed to be at that meeting tonight. That wouldn't have been much faith. Did you know that? Now if you'd have been hindered to where you could not come, and you would have said that, that would have been justifiable in the sight of God. But having an automobile, having a vehicle to come out here in, and having a way, having help, having your sanity, being able to drive out here, had you not come, you would have made your own self a liar. Isn't that right? Because if you say that I believe, and then you don't do anything about it, then you're not telling the truth. So then when we speak of faith, we must remember that faith is something that causes us to act upon the word of God. Faith is something that causes us to move according to what God has commanded us to do. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. There is no faith outside of the word of God. You know, we need to think upon this. There is no faith outside of the word of God. I made mention of this the other night. In the latter times, the Bible tells us that people will depart from the faith. And a lot of people would have you to believe that if you leave some denomination or some church doctrine, or if you leave some group of people, they'll say you've departed from the faith. And they would have you to believe that you departed from the faith. But let me tell you tonight, that's not departing from the faith. It doesn't matter if you leave every church there is on the face of the earth. That has nothing to do with departing from the faith. There's not a sect of people in the world but what you could leave them and still not depart from the faith. If your heart is in the word of God, if your confidence is in the word of God, because faith doesn't come by denominationalism, faith doesn't come by a religious sect, faith doesn't come by fellowshipping people, faith doesn't come by belonging to a body of what we call believers. Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. When you hear the word of God, if you believe the word of God, that is faith. When the Bible tells us that faith cometh by the hearing of the word, just what does God mean by that? All right, let's look at it for just a minute. What does God mean? What is God saying when he tells us that faith comes by the hearing of the word? First of all, this is what God is telling us. The Bible tells us that we, Paul, referring to himself as a Jewish person, referring to that had never been born again at the time, he said, we are kept under the law. We are shut up under the law. We are kept under the law, under tutors, and shut up under the law unto the faith that afterwards should be revealed in Christ Jesus. We, speaking of the Jews, we were shut up under the law. We were shut up under the law, and all of this was tutors to bring us to Calvary, to bring us to the coming of the Son of God. And then when the Son of God come, there came the faith of Jesus Christ. For he said, we are justified, we are sanctified by the faith which is in the Son of God. Not by your faith, not by my faith, not by your believing, not by my believing, but we are justified by the faith of the Son of God. And the Bible said, the faith by which you're sanctified, the faith that the Bible tells us to contend for, being shut up under the law, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember, I said last night, there was 8 people in the days of Noah. There was 8 people saved. The next time a deliverance come, half of them was taken away. There was only 4 people saved in Sodom and Gomorrah. The next great deliverance that come, there was hundreds of thousands of people that came out of Egypt. But when they got ready to go into the land of Canaan, there was only 2 people saved. So it was cut in half again. Only Joshua and Caleb got in. And then when it came to the next great deliverance, which was Calvary, it was cut in halves again. And there was only 1 person that was saved. That was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And unless we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight, unless we belong to the God family tonight, unless we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ as a member of that body, we don't have any salvation. Therefore, shut up under the law unto the faith, which afterwards should be revealed, which is the faith of the Son of God, the faith by which ye are sanctified. So then tonight, we are here, not because we are righteous, but because he is righteous. We are saved tonight, not because we believe, but because he did believe, and that before the world ever was, God, looking down through the telescope of time, having slain the Lamb from the foundation of the world, God, having spilt the blood of Jesus in his foreknowledge, Peter said, thus seeing those that would accept the call of God in the day that he made the call, thus God predestinated, he justified, he sanctified, and Paul said he also glorified. So then tonight, we've been justified by faith. We've been sanctified by the faith of Jesus Christ. We've been predestinated unto good works through Jesus Christ. And tonight, we've been glorified in the sight of God by the faith of the Son of God. So then, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can lay anything to our charge. Because it is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died for us. Yea, that is risen and sitting at the right hand of the Father who maketh intercession. What can we say to these things? Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that great day. I am persuaded to believe tonight with Paul that he can and will keep that which I have committed unto him against that great day. And he said, I'm persuaded to believe that neither heights nor depths nor things present, things to come, powers, whatever it might be, I am persuaded to believe that nothing can separate me from so great a love that God manifested at Calvary by giving his only begotten Son. He says it's such great love until I don't believe there's anything that can take me away from that kind of love. I am persuaded to believe tonight, children of God, that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I am sanctified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of the restitution of all things, which will bring in that great millennium age as we speak of. So then tonight, I am free from sin. I am free from death because I am free from sin. If I am free from sin, then am I not free from death? If I am free from death, then what do I have to worry about? All of our lives, we're subject to bondage because of the fear of death. But then when we surpass that, we go into the heavenlies with God, then we have no more fear of death because we have escaped death. We've escaped the things of this world, and we're free from death and from the evils of this life. All right, let's examine it just a little further. Am I then justified by my believing? No. Am I then justified by his believing? Yes. Am I sanctified then by my believing? No. Am I sanctified then by his believing? Yes. Am I glorified by my believing? No. Am I justified by his believing? Yes. So then tonight, am I justified in the sight of God? I am justified. Why am I justified? Because the Bible says that he, that is Jesus, was delivered for my offenses, and he was resurrected, he was raised again for my justification. So then he went to Calvary because I offended. He was bruised because of my sins. But God raised him from the dead as a proof that he forgave my wrongs and forgave my shortcomings. And he was raised from the dead as a proof of my justification in the sight of God. Even so, the writer said, if sin comes by one man and death upon all, then why not righteousness by one man and life to all? It stands to reason that if one man done the sinning and everybody had to die, it stands to reason to me that one man could live righteous and all the people would have a chance to live. Is that right? You say then, Brother Pike, why do you preach the way you do? That we've got to live right, as you say. Because, my brother, I am persuaded that if an apple tree has an apple nature, it'll produce apples and ain't nothing can stop it unless it's a corrupt tree or unless it dies. And I am persuaded tonight that if you say that you are a Christian, that you've got the nature of Jesus Christ, and the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. And if you've got the nature of the Son of God tonight, you'll bear the fruits of the Son of God tonight, and the Bible said you'll have your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. Tell me this one thing. How could you have fruits unto anything else but unto holiness? When the Bible said God is the spirit of holiness. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of holiness? They don't have as much conviction as the Pope of Rome. At least they call him his holiness. Though we know that's false, yet they do call him his holiness. But a lot of people don't have even that much respect for holiness. But did you know the Bible teaches that God is the spirit of holiness? And the Bible said without holiness, no man shall see God. How could you see holiness without holiness? How could you see the spirit of holiness if you don't have any holiness? Brother, it takes the spirit of holiness to be able to see holiness. Because God is the spirit of holiness. And did you know that if you do not have holiness, you do not have eternal life? Did you know the only source of eternal life is God? And did you know that God is the spirit of holiness? Therefore, the Bible said that we have our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. All right. So then, are we justified by our faith? No. Justified by his faith? Yes. Why do we do works of righteousness? Because if I have a God nature, I can do only the things that God would do. You say, why is it then, Brother Pike, that some men do things that are not like Jesus? Two reasons. Maybe they're young in Christ, and that outer nature, that outer warfare, that keeps overpowering the inner man, it keeps tripping them up because they're just a babe in Christ and they don't have the strength to be able to overcome. But on the other hand, if they are a person that's not immature, it's because they are a hypocrite. And they're professing something that they do not have.
Because if a person professes Christianity, then they must be a Christian. And if they are not a Christian, they cannot profess Christianity. If they do not have fruits unto holiness, and if their works are not works of righteousness, then they are not a Christian. And if they're not a Christian, then they are a hypocrite. There's no in-betweens about it. You know, if we get back to the same doctrine that Jesus taught, that the apostles taught, we wouldn't have any problems. But in the day that we're living in, everybody gives their opinion. Everybody wants to hold to what somebody said. Instead of taking God's word and having enough backbone to stand for God's word, they want to get with the multitude or with the crowd and go along with the crowd. Though they know that it's wrong, they'll still do it anyway. But Jesus wasn't like that. Those Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus. While that was the religious body of that day, a lot of evangelists today wouldn't have crossed the Pharisees for nothing. They wouldn't have spoke against the Sadducees for nothing. They'd say, why, if we do that, we can't have a revival. Because if we do that, why, they won't come to our meeting. Jesus said, you hypocrite. Isn't that right? Why is it today that we don't preach the gospel? Why is it we don't speak the word of God? You know, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. A lot of people say, well, I don't know whether God sent him or not. I can tell you whether God sent him or not. It says, if God sent him, then he will speak God's word. And brother, let me tell you something. If God sent him, he will speak God's word. And if he isn't preaching God's word, God didn't send him. God didn't send him. When God sends somebody, they'll preach the word of God. The Bible said, preach the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, and also exhort. And do it with all long suffering, but do it with all authority. So then tonight, what we need to do is to preach God's word. First of all, you're not justified by what you're doing. You're not justified by any works of your own. You can't take the outlook that I'm more holy than thou. A lot of people have confused holiness with this thing where people go around talking about being so holy. Did you know that God rejected the Jews over that? And God cut the Jews off because of that? There was a sect of people that went around feeling they were better than anybody else, and God cut them off. And God still cuts them off today. Because they were just as wretched as they could be. Though they fasted, though they prayed, God said they still played the hypocrite and said you played the harlot under every green tree. Said away with your solemn feasts and your assemblies and your fasting. You don't fast before me to make your voice to be heard on high. You've got your own programs. You've got your own plans. You're not trying to draw close to God. You're not trying to understand the word of God. Stephen said, stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart, you do always err, even as your father did, by resisting the Holy Ghost, by not preaching the word, not standing for the word, not testifying of the word. Folks that are here tonight, get a backbone. Stand up for God's word. It doesn't matter if you're talking to the banker. It doesn't matter if you're talking to the judge. It doesn't matter if you're talking to the doctor. It doesn't matter if you're talking to the preacher. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Stand up for God. I've stood in the face of doctors and dentists. I've stood in the face of judges. I've stood in the face of police. I've stood in the face of sheriffs. I've stood in the face of great powers and denominational leaders throughout the world. But did you know there is not one case where they ever stood before the word of God? The Bible said, and no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. I've had the greatest Bible scholars on earth to come, and not one of them has been able to stand. You know why? Because we've got God's word. And when you take God's word, no one can stand. It's God's word that casts out devils. The Bible said God sent his word and healed them. By his word he cast out the unclean spirit. It was God's word that spoke the stars into existence. It was God's word that created you and I. It's God's word tonight that still gets the job done. It's God's word that gives faith unto salvation. It is God's word, Jesus Christ, that gives us faith unto sanctification and eternal life. So then tonight, being shut up unto the law, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. Did you know that ever since Calvary, that faith has been revealed? And the Bible said God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time. That was the fullness of time back there. And that was the end of the world back there. That was the end of the world. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I think you're just a little bit eccentric when you talk about that being the end of the world. Well, Peter looks back a little farther than that. And when he speaks of the days of Noah, he said, and them people back there, the end of the world come on them too. He said, the old world passed away. And then they started another world. And then when Calvary come along, Peter waxed bold. And he said, and here goes the next one. He said, and you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And now I'm way over here telling you the same thing about the same Peter. And I want you to know today that you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That the end of the world is here again. Now, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if the end of the world come, why didn't it blow all to pieces? Because the Bible didn't say it was the end of the earth. God created the earth to be inhabited. And the earth lasts on and on, my brother. It goes through a change. And it goes through one change right after another. Until it becomes a celestial age. But the thing is, the world passeth away. And the lust of the world passeth away. And all that is of the world passeth away. The world is a system. The world is a system. It was a system in the days of Noah. It was a system back there before Calvary. It's a system today. And the world passeth away. And all that's of that system passeth away with it. The world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that right? Did you know Jesus said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away? And did you know that this earth that will never perish, yet it must pass away? For the Bible said after the great millennium that the Ancient of Days sat upon the throne, and as he came forth that the mountains fled away. The Bible said the ocean fled away. The Bible said the heavens fled away. And there was no place found for the heavens. There was no place found for the earth. And the words that Jesus spoke when he said heaven and earth shall pass away, we see it fulfilled in the book of Revelation when every bit of it passes away. Nothing can stand before the Ancient of Days. Nothing can stand in the presence of the great light. When God, the Ancient of Days, comes, everything passes away. So then tonight, being shut up under the law, under the faith, since Calvary the faith is here, since Calvary the faith is here, since Calvary the faith of Jesus Christ is here, and brethren, that which you could not be justified of under the law, now you can be justified free from sin, from all things, through the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that the faith of Jesus Christ is here. But you say, Brother Pike, I was never under the law. Every man is under the law until he has a Calvary in his life. There must be a Calvary in his life. Until he comes to the Calvary in his life, he is shut up under the law. For the Bible said everyone that's fallen from grace, they're under the law. If you're not under grace, then you're under the law. And therefore you must be judged as a sinner. Because sin gets its strength by the law. If you've never had a Calvary, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never come to God, then you are a transgressor of the law. And all of the blood from the days of the death of Abel, the blood comes down upon you from every generation, right on down to this day, every bit of the blood that was ever shed, you'll be responsible for it in the day of the judgment. Because you've never had a Calvary in your life. Therefore, the faith of Jesus Christ, if you've never believed on Him, if you've never accepted Him, if He's never come into your heart, then you're lost, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter how much you say that you believe, if you have not His Spirit, you don't have the faith of Jesus Christ. If you don't have God's Spirit, you don't have the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said many false prophets are in the world today. Many false prophets. You know, someone may say, Brother Pike, you must never preach against religion. You must never preach against individuals. You must never preach against anything. You know why that they say that? Because they are a hypocrite. And the devil has them posted on every corner. You know what for? To keep you from preaching against the devil. Because the devil lives in human beings. The devil operates in denominational systems. Where are the false prophets of today? If there are many false prophets in the world today, then pray tell me where they're at. If they're not in the churches, if they're not in the denominations, if they're not among the people, where are they at? They got to be somewhere. If they're not preaching over the radio, if they're not preaching over TV, where then are they at? They've got to be somewhere because the Bible said there's a lot of them. I tell you that anybody that doesn't preach the word of God is a false prophet. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And brother, you need to stand for the word of God because faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And it's by the grace of God through faith that you're saved, my brother, my sister. It's by the grace of God. We're going to say a few more words and close right here. If there is a faith that can save us, and if we've been shut up under the law, under the coming of that faith, and that faith is here, how then do we get that faith? Where is your faith? Did you know that your faith is in your spirit? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, my faith is in my believing. Your believing is in your spirit. Now, if you don't believe that, the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. Let your spirit leave the body and see how much believing you can do. So then that tells us where the faith of Christ is. Isn't that right? That's why the Bible said a word spoken against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come. Because the only means of salvation is by the Spirit of Christ. And what is the Spirit of Christ? The Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? He's the resurrected Christ. So then, the faith of Jesus Christ is where? It's in the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, without His Spirit, the Bible said that you're none of His. You say, but I'm saved, Brother Pike. Even if I don't have the infilling of the Spirit, I'm saved by faith. I tell you again, you can't be saved by your faith. That's foolishness. When people teach you that, that's foolishness. Telling you that you can be saved by faith and you don't have to have the Spirit of God, where do you get anything like that in the Bible? You know there's no such teaching in the Bible. Some folks teach that there was a world before this world. Got some kind of prehistoric teaching about another world. You ask me, say, where do you get that? They say, well, God said, replenish the earth. That proves that somewhere, somebody had already replenished the earth. I said, it sure does. God made Adam and Eve and replenished the earth. And then said, Adam and Eve, you replenish the earth. What's that got to do with a prehistoric world? When we go beyond Eve and Adam, there ain't no such thing. That's foolishness. Why do you say it's foolish? Because the Bible said Eve is the mother of all living. How did they get here before Eve? You love the Lord? Say, well, I ain't good enough, Brother Pine. Some was here before Eve. That just says that she's the mother of all living. Well, let's look at the other. The Bible said in Adam all die. How did they die before Adam got here? It's like the foolishness of science. They talk about evolving. They talk about evolution. They talk about plants. They talk about something coming from a tadpole. But the question is this. If they're right in their theory, why does the Bible say that the trees grew before they were ever in the ground? The Bible didn't say God put a seed in the ground and that from that come a tree. There was no evolving to that. neither to the monkeys, the species, or whatever. Somebody said, well, Brother Pine, we're talking about the beast. But if you remember, they go back to a seaweed before they get a tadpole. There ain't no such thing, folks. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Why does brilliant-minded people believe such foolishness? You know, and I know, that history itself, when you go to search out history, that you go so far back, you get as far as Egypt, you take a look at some of their discoveries down there, and that's as far back as they can go. And if you check history from there on, you have to get the Bible. I've read their history. It goes right back to the hieroglyphics, the Rosetta Stone, and a few other things. And after that, they pick up the Bible, and they start talking about Abraham, and they talk about the others. Now, let me say this. If we're going to believe the Bible to start with, why mess with some fiction later? Why mess with theory when we got facts? You know, history means his story. Why pay any attention to his story when we got God's story? I believe what God said about it. I check it out, and the Bible said that they grew before they were ever in the ground, which means God created them. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's what I believe. So then, by the faith of Jesus Christ, they were all created. By the faith of Jesus Christ, the world exists. For these things that are created, the Bible said God spoke them into existence by faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. It is the faith of Jesus Christ that created us. But brethren, we were cut off from it through the fall in the garden. And we're going to enlarge on that one night concerning the covering of His glory. The covering of His glory. One night we're going to enlarge on it concerning the covering of His glory. The Bible said you cover with a covering, but not of me. And one night we're going to enlarge on it. But tonight I want you to think on this. It is the faith of Jesus Christ that justifies you and I. Brother, God cannot save you nor me. We're up and down like a seesaw, in and out like a swing. We confess something that we don't possess in our own ability. And God cannot save any of us by our feeble efforts. But I'll tell you what, if we do the best we can, if we do the very best we can, if we're not making believe, if we call on the name of the Lord and believe in the salvation of Christ Jesus, and we believe in the atonement of the blood that was shed at Calvary, then the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, which is the faith of the Son of God, will come into your heart, and that Spirit will seal your spirit unto the day of the redemption of this body, and the devil will never touch you again. This religion that they teach about being in today and out of tomorrow, saved today, backslid tomorrow, there ain't nothing to that, folks. The Bible said he that born of God, he cannot sin. It didn't say he might not sin. It didn't say he perhaps wouldn't sin if he'd done good. It said he couldn't sin to begin with. There's no way a Christian can sin. The Bible said he keepeth himself. He hath the power, the faith of Jesus Christ. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Did you know from the time you become a Christian, a real born-again Christian, did you know that from that time the devil has never touched you, not even one tiny little bit? Did you know that if the devil could touch you one tiny little bit, if the spot was no bigger than the point of a pin, the finest that was ever honed, God would reject you because he's looking for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Somebody say hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Glory to God, I'm talking about rapture and faith. Don't you know this kind of believing that you got about being in and out and up and down and maybe and perhaps so? Don't you know that that didn't even get them into Canaan land, let alone get them into heaven? You got to have a faith that makes you to know, brother, that there's not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish against you, and that there never has been since the day that you was born to the Holy Spirit. You say you can't prove it by the Bible. I can prove what I'm saying, but you can't prove your argument. You bring your scripture. You don't have any. You don't have any. You can't prove contrary to it. I can prove it, but you can't prove what you're saying. You can't prove what you believe. There ain't no scripture for what you're teaching when you go contrary to that. Oh, I wish we had time to preach tonight. But you know, it takes a little while to preach. And especially when you're hoarse, it makes it difficult. But it would take a little while to preach, probably all night long, to say a few things. At least all night to say a few things. You love Jesus? Oh, what a wonderful salvation. You know what's wrong with the church today? They feel like a child has to go to school early in the morning, stay all day long just to learn its ABCs. Has to go through grammar school and high school and in college and spend its entire life, that is the worthwhile part of it, in school to learn anything. But when it comes to the mysteries of God, the Bible said great is the mystery of godliness, but they figure all they need is 15 minutes with a record or a tape, and they know all about it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Brother, that's why the church hasn't got it today. I love you. God loves you. And I thank God that there is some people in the world today that's taking a little time out for Jesus. The Bible said, take time to be holy. There is some men that have taken some time out. There is some women that have taken some time out, some honorable women and men. And they believe in the things of God. And it's right. The parents should lay up for the children. I want you to stand with me tonight. It's a little difficult to preach to you in the horse, but you've been a good audience, and I've certainly enjoyed trying. Last night, the Lord blessed us. I know we had well over 600 people. I don't know just how many, but the Lord blessed us. And we, I guess, screamed and hollered a little bit too loud, got a little bit too excited, preaching the gospel. But the people was in a good spirit, and I felt like worshiping with them, and I did. And tonight, I'm hoarse. But we'll shake it off. The Lord will help us. Now tonight, as we stand here, I want you to think, folks. The Bible says, examine yourselves. You know, a lot of times you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to go to a physician if you'll examine yourselves. If you'll examine yourselves, you don't have to go to a doctor. And you don't have to go to a physician. A lot of times you can find a remedy yourself, and that'll take care of it. Isn't that right? But if you mess around and don't examine yourself, after a while you have to have somebody to examine you. Isn't that right? You take a man that goes around always saying something. You know, he won't listen to anybody. Somebody say, son, you ought not say those things. Somebody's liable to, you know, they're liable to lay one on you, as the world says. I don't believe that. So they say something else. And they say something else. And after a while, somebody lays one on him. And he learns he shouldn't have said that. And the next time you see him, he isn't acting like that at all. But it would been a whole lot better if he'd examined himself before he got a physical examination from somebody else. Isn't that right? So before the devil gets a hold of you, examine yourself tonight. See if you're in the faith. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Faith, by the hearing of the Word of God. See if your conviction is in what your grandmother taught. See if it's in what your parents taught. See if it's in what some preacher taught you. Or see if it's in the Word of God. See if your conviction is in the Word of God. You depart from the Word of God, you departed from the faith. In the last days, they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How do you know the devil's got a doctrine? Isn't that right? The Bible said they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. But a lot of people don't like the apostles' doctrine. So the devil gives them a doctrine. And they continue steadfast in that doctrine. You say, what's the apostles' doctrine? The Word of God. The Word of God. They preach the Word of God. They preach the Word of God. They're still preaching the Word of God today. God's preachers are still preaching the Word of God. They haven't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that right? They're still preaching the Word of God. So tonight, see if your conviction is in the Word of God. See if your conviction is in the Word of God. Some people believe they can eat one thing. Some people believe they can't. One person believes one day is holy. Another person don't believe he's holy at all. You understand what I'm saying? It all depends on your convictions. Brother, God will have mercy in many cases. But why don't you put your faith in the Word of God? Why don't you have conviction in the Word of God? That way you'll have joy. That way you'll have peace. And that way you'll have righteousness in your life. You'll have a wonderful time in God because you'll escape the bondage of foolishness and the bondage of evil surmising and the bondage of what people have to say to you because you've got an anchor for the soul. So tonight, examine yourselves. See if you are in the Word of God. Are you in the faith? If you're not in the faith, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not a Christian. Let me say this, and then we're going to change the order of the service here. Remember this. You say, I'm a strong believer, Brother Pike. If you believe in the Word of God, you are a strong believer. If you don't believe in the Word of God, you're not a strong believer. That is, you don't have faith. It doesn't matter what you believe, folks. It doesn't matter what you've heard. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you don't believe in the Word of God, you don't have faith. Believing that you're going to heaven doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. You can believe it with all your heart. You say, well, what will I be believing? A lie, and you'll be damned. You'll believe you're going when you're not going. You can believe that you're healed when you're dying with cancer, and you'll die. Did you know that? You can believe that you're healed and still die with cancer unless you're believing according to the Word of God. Did you know that? You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? The Bible said He sent His Word and healed him. He sent His Word and healed him. Faith cometh by the Word of God. You say, you mean to tell me that I could stand believe that I'm being healed of cancer and still die? You certainly can. You certainly can. I said last night you can be healed of one disease, go your way and sin again and get a worse one. You may never get healed of that. A lot of you tonight, you've got in worse condition. You've been healed before, but you didn't live right. Now you got a worse thing you had before. Isn't that right? Jesus said, go thy way, sin no more, lest the worse thing come on you. The doctors can't even heal you. You know what's wrong with the people? They feel like medicine's going to do the job. Medicine's become a snare to them. Hospitals has become a snare to them. Doctors has become a snare to them. Their table has become a snare to them. Wealth has become a snare to them. Ball games, sports have become a snare to them. Their own lustful desires become a snare to them. Passions have become a snare to them. Isn't that right? That's where the problem is. People are leaning on medicine. But folks, did you know that medicine can't heal you? How do you know medicine can't heal you? Well, somebody said, well, I differ with you, Brother Pike. I differ with you. I've used a lot of good medicine. I know the Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I know medicine does good. I know medicine brings healing. But you know why it brings healing? Because God causes the medicine to heal. God gave medicine because people have weak faith. And in the days of grace, He's trying to keep you alive, to keep the devil from killing you, because you don't have the faith to believe until He can bring you to a place to where you can believe without the aid of those things. If medicine heals, why does it continue to heal? Because it never healed to start with. God only used it for His purpose. When God gets through with it, the medicine's no more than a glass of water. It won't heal you, folks. The Bible teaches in that day no man can save you, for Jesus Christ alone shall be exalted in that day. So then let's lean on faith. While God is giving us all of these benefits and helping us with all these things, let's use them and let's get close to God. Let's develop our faith and let's start trying to believe and quit making a crutch out of it. That's why people are popping pills everywhere. Everywhere people are popping pills. They've got to have pills. They become a bunch of dope addicts. Every time they have a little pain, they got to pop a pill. They don't utilize their faith. They don't pray. Somebody said, well, I use my faith. Try living right. You ever try living right? You got to live in harmony with God. Try living right. I'll guarantee it'll be different in your life. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, the Word of God would be broken if that wasn't true. The Bible said He'd move sickness out of the midst of you. The Bible said He'd move sickness out of the midst of you. I believe what God said. He did it for Israel. He'll do it for you and I. He isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that right? All right. Let's just worship the Lord together for a few minutes now. A lot of things we like to say. And from night to night, we'll say a few of them. You know, God isn't mixed up, folks, is He? People are mixed up. We've got so many dogmas, so many doctrines, so many ideas, so many strong-willed people that just push over weak people till they got people all mixed up. You know, there's a lot of strong-willed people, a lot of strong-minded people, and a lot of people that are weak. You just push right over them, do them anyway. Some strong, stubborn-willed person, they just blade out their ignorance. They don't listen. They don't know nothing. They just tell you what they think, how they feel. They just pop up. If you say something they don't like, if it don't fit what they got to say about it, the Bible said, rebuke a fool and you'll get yourself a blot. You rebuke a fool and he leaves your service, he'll spread it all over town. If you don't pet and pamper him, do just exactly what he wants to, he'll cut you down like a corn stalk. But you'll rebuke a wise man, he'll go out and he'll grow wiser. And he'll grow wiser. And he'll grow wiser. And he'll grow wiser because he's a wise man to start with. And he'll listen to what you've got to say. And he'll consider it and he'll check that thing out. But not a fool. That fool, he'll blot your name all over town. Everywhere he goes, he's got some criticism. Strong-willed people that push over weak-willed people. They take advantage of their homes and destroy the virtues of their home. They destroy the virtue that's in their life. They mistreat their little children. But you know, people are getting hard now. Isn't that right? People are, they're tired of it. They're getting hard now. People that used to be weak-willed. People that used to be weak-spirited. They're not that way anymore. They're getting tired of it. They'll blow your brains out now. They'll kill you anymore. They'll fight with you. They're tired of people pushing over them, just telling them anything. They're tired of being just done anyway. Isn't that right? Even nations are like that. Little children are like that. What we need to do, folks, is stand up for God. We need to have a backbone, but not be bitter, not be mean, not fight, not try to kill each other. What we need to do is take a backbone and learn the truth and stand up for the truth. That's what we need to do. We need to unite together and stand up for the truth. You love Jesus? You go out here and buy your little piece of ground. You want to set your trailer on it? You can't do that. Did you know that? No, you can't do that. You know why? Somebody uptown that doesn't have anything to do with it. Some authority up there that doesn't even know your name. Somebody that's getting an income off of what you make. Somebody that you're taking care of, him and his family, while he frolics, sets up there in the refineries, says, no, you can't do that. I know it's your property, but you got to ask me. Does that make sense to you? No, that don't make no sense. You say, but isn't that Bible? The Bible said that which is mine is lawful for me to do what I will with it. They're encroaching on your rights of sovereignty. You say, well, we can't help it. You can't help it because you don't use a backbone. That's right. That's right. I done run into some of them cases. You can do something about it. I've run into it many times. I've run into it with our tents. I've run into it with our church. I've run into it with our properties. I've run into it with my children in the school from California all the way down to Florida. And in every case, we won out. Every case, we won out. You unite together. You take a backbone and you can stop those people's foolishness. You can stop all that foolishness, folks. You've got yourself in a bondage because you don't serve God and don't love God and don't follow the Word of God. Then the devils, the leeches, they come in on you. And they're just doing you anyway. Just doing you anyway. And they ain't going to stop with getting your properties. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, the things of the world. He's working to get everything that you got under his control. Because he's a devil. He wants to own this world. But he isn't going to stop with that. He's going to get your soul. You watch and see. He's going to bring you a little number called 666. And he's going to make you bow down, and he's going to get your soul too. He isn't going to stop with your properties. That's just a starting place. He's going to get your soul. He's going to completely own you unless you do something about it. And it ain't far away either, folks. It ain't far away. So tonight, let's worship the Lord. While they're playing on the instruments here, I want you to lift your hand with me for just a moment. Will you do that? Just lift your hands for a few minutes. Now I want to say I appreciate you. Every night, the people of Macon have been a wonderful congregation to preach to. Every night. Wonderful people in Macon, Georgia. You say, well, Brother Pike, you don't know them like I do. Maybe I don't. Better I don't. Because the ones I'm preaching to, wonderful people. They listen to the Word of God. They're taking heed to it. The Spirit of God shows that they're receiving it. That means there's got to be some good days ahead for them. There's got to be some blessings ahead for them. The Bible said if you receive him that God sent, you receive God. He hath the power to bless. He hath the power to curse. He said, whosoever you bless shall be blessed. Whosoever you curse shall be cursed. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So tonight, it's wonderful. Night after night, the people are listening. The people are receiving. The people are responding. Last night, the entire altar filled up. As we call the altar service, the altar filled up. And people were loving Jesus. People afterwards testify that God did something for them. Jesus is moving by Spirit. Folks, we're going to be praying for the sick. The first two or three nights here, we've just prayed for you as a mass body. But we're going to deal with you individually, and we're going to pray for you individually because some of you need individual touches. And we're going to do it. But we're just trying to get organized here. Get everybody in one mind and one accord so the Holy Spirit can get to moving and where faith will be here. Faith was here last night. I felt it. And I felt God doing some things for people. While we've got our hands up tonight, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to help you tonight. Can I do that? Can I offer you my prayers tonight? The Bible said, pray one for another. Can I offer you my prayers tonight? If any two agree as touching any one thing, asking of God to be done, don't doubt. You say, but Brother Pike, it hasn't happened before. Don't give up. You say, but Brother Pike, I believed it didn't happen. Oh, brother, listen, don't doubt God. Remember, it's your weakness of faith. Just buckle in a little tighter. Decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. God will do it. He's faithful. He promised. He will do it. He cannot lie. His word is settled in heaven. There's no alterations to it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. While you're praying tonight, I want you to believe with me. Remember, the Bible said when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. It's no good to pray if you're not going to believe. When you pray, believe. He said, watch and pray. If you watch and don't pray, it won't do you any good. If you pray and don't watch, it won't do you any good. That voice said, when you pray, believe. If you pray and don't believe, it won't do you any good. If you believe and don't pray, it won't do you any good. But if you pray and then believe, it'll work every time. I want you to believe tonight. I want you to believe tonight. I feel faith here tonight. I feel faith here tonight. Now we're looking for some wonderful services here. I really believe that from my heart. The word is getting around now, not only here in Macon, but other towns that we're here in Macon, Georgia, for meeting. And I'm expecting God to move. I'm expecting God to heal and deliver. I'm expecting God to save. While you've got your heads bowed, your eyes closed, your hands lifted, I want to pray with you. Father of heaven tonight, I'm calling upon the name of Jesus. I'm asking you tonight to hear me. Oh, hallelujah. I know you hear me always, Father. But I ask in Jesus' name that you hear me. God, I ask you to stretch out a hand of healing tonight. Father, heal tonight. May your spirit tonight move, oh God. May every power be broken tonight. Every evil spirit be taken away. Dear God, may every sickness be defeated. Heal, Father. Hear me, oh God. Grant thy blessings. Lord, as I reach out over this audience tonight, I feel you healing. Father, whatever the affliction might be, whatever the condition might be, whatever the problem might be, I want them to believe tonight. I want you to heal tonight. I want you to forgive tonight. I want you to look down tonight. Make these grounds holy, Father. Make these people tonight to be healed and to be saved tonight. Oh God, so that they can go away, saying it was good to have been in the house of God. I ask you to do it tonight, Jesus. Move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing a little chorus together. While we sing this chorus, I want to give you a chance to call on the name of Jesus. And we're going to dismiss you in just a little while. From night to night, we're going to try to get started as early as possible. And we're going to try to turn you loose as early as possible, because I know some of you have to work. But I want you to pray with us. And I want you to come back. I want you to tell somebody about the meeting. I want you to come back believing. And let's sing this little chorus now. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For I have anchored my soul in your haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus, can you love the Lord? Can you love the Lord? Can you love the Lord? But in Jesus, I am saved evermore. Say it again. But in Jesus, I am saved evermore. Sing it one more time. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Or though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For the last couple of nights, I've invited you to the altar. And we're going to be inviting you to the altar night after night. Though I know you're not saved by coming to the altar. You're saved by believing in what Christ did for you. And by believing until God will send His Holy Spirit into your heart and into your life. But tonight, I want you to just stand where you are. And I want you to, out of a pure heart tonight, call upon the name of Jesus. For the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. One night I want to enlarge on that a little bit too. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Tonight, call upon the name of the Lord. Folks, if you tonight, and perhaps some of you do, but if you tonight knew what this meeting in Macon, Georgia had to do with, if you knew tonight why that Brother Pike is in Macon, Georgia, why that God has sent me here, and what He has told me and what this meeting has to do with, honestly, before God, you wouldn't go home tonight. You wouldn't go home tonight if you knew. But you know, God doesn't let everybody know. It's better that they don't, because they have their duties in life. They have things they must do, and they must continue in their routine until the closing of the day. And God doesn't disturb them. He just lets them go on. But He has to let somebody know. He has to let somebody know. He has to let somebody know. Your sickness is your responsibility. You're the one that knows that. But everybody's sickness is the doctor's responsibility. He has to know about everybody. So then tonight, just stand where you are tonight. Open up your heart and call on the name of Jesus. Will you do that? Just call on the name of Jesus tonight. Close your eyes once again. Close your eyes once again and call on Jesus' name tonight. Will you do that, beloved friend? There is salvation in none other name tonight. There is no other place that you can get salvation. You can't get salvation just by believing. You got to call on His name. For salvation is not in believing. The Bible said salvation is in the name of the Son of God. It was His blood that atoned. It was His name that God gave, because it was Him that paid the price. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. And tonight, you must call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. If you want to be delivered from evil spirits, the name of Jesus will drive them away. If you want salvation, the name of Jesus will give it to you tonight. The lovely name of the Son of God tonight will bring you salvation. But you must call upon His name tonight, for salvation is in none other name but the name of the Son of God. Can you close your eyes? Can you, out of a pure heart tonight, call upon the name of Jesus? Can you, Father of Heaven, tonight, again as we pray, calling upon the name of the Lord, I ask You to save these people. If there be one lost person here tonight, Jesus, just one lost person, I ask You to save them, Father. I ask You to forgive their sins tonight. I ask You to pass over this audience tonight. I ask You to save souls. May salvation be given here tonight. And may every yoke be broken from off of my brothers and sisters tonight. May every person, Father, here receive a deliverance tonight. And every night that they come together in under this tent and in the house of God, may it be so, Jesus, that night after night they will be delivered by the mighty hand of God and by the mighty power of God. I ask You to do it in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. We're going to sing this chorus and we're going to let you go.
to be like Jesus.
How would you like to be like Jesus tonight?
To be like,
you know, the Bible said he's our example. We ought to follow in his steps. Don't you want to be like him tonight? Don't you want to be like him tonight? Can you sing it with us tonight? Can you sing it with us? Can you sing it?
From earth to glory, I only ask to be like him.
Sing it one more time.
To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.